front of the red column for the Fighting Bills.
Base hit down the left field line. Greg scores.
Inside. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball near third. This game is over.
Second deck walk off home run. Grand slam. Bryce Harper.
That's what I call hitting season.
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 505. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. Coming up, we're going to recap a weird, wild, crazy series against the Chicago Cubs. The Phillies pulling out an amazing win on Thursday night. We'll give you all the details as Bryce Harper cements his spot as the National League MVP frontrunner. And really, I think he's starting to pull away from the rest of the field. He had an amazing series against the Cubs and continues to carry the team. We'll give you the latest numbers on him. I will run down for you my batting order of ineptitude, or I guess maybe that's not the right way to put it. It's a batting order of deficiencies as the Phillies need to think about next season. Although they're still in the playoff hunt, I guess. It's a long shot still for this team, and so I'm going to run down the different things that this team and Dave Dombrowski need to do this offseason in order to get themselves back on track. Plus, I will have your stat of the week. So this is going to be a quickie podcast here this week, guys, so hold on to the handrails and let's get to it. So the Phillies win 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, and what really was a very wild series that it looked like the Phillies had an opportunity to get swept in this one, but instead managed to pull off a series victory against a Cubs team that is not very good. Thursday night's game looked like it was going to be an unmitigated disaster, and I was pretty miserable on Twitter because once again the Phillies came into the game on Thursday night with a planned bullpen game with bullpen pitchers who aren't good. This is, again, we've talked about this. It's one thing to do a bullpen game once in a while when you know you've got really good, effective relievers like the Dodgers and the Rays and other teams do. The Phillies do not have that. Folks, they do not have that. And yet the Phillies, in a pennant race, could not, in their entire organization, find a fifth major league caliber starting pitcher. They do not have one, folks. That's what they're telling you by running out a bullpen game every fifth day, is that they have on the 40-man roster, on all the minor league teams, on the big league roster, and on the waiver wire, there's absolutely nothing and no one that they can bring up to this team to pitch every fifth day. They have 4 major league caliber starters in the entire organization. That's what we're being told when they do these bullpen games. And it looked like it was going to cost the Phillies yet another game here in September when the Cubs put up 7 runs in the third inning to take a 7-0 lead. It looked dreary. But then something happened. The Phillies put up 7 runs of their own in the fourth inning and then pile on 10 more runs in this game for a remarkable 17-8 victory. And it was all powered by the MVP of the National League, Bryce Harper. He went 3-for-4 with 2 walks, 2 doubles, a home run, 4 RBIs, and that home run was an absolute crusher into the second deck in right center field. When he hits those tape measure shots, it is impossible to imagine a major league hitter getting more of a baseball than Bryce Harper gets. He absolutely tattooed one out to right center field. So we're going to get into his numbers here in just a second and explain to you his MVP case, because it really is a strong case. I think he's not only do I think he's the front runner, I think he's pulling away with it at this point. Now, the Phillies did get some bad news in this game. JT Realmuto, who had finally started to pick up some hits, he got the game-tying single in the fourth inning that tied things up at 7-7, was hit by a pitch on his left triceps. He likely won't play on Friday, and I think this weekend is in doubt for him as well. And that's really unfortunate because he was starting to pick things up a little bit offensively. But the Phillies won on Thursday, a remarkable game, despite another bullpen game, which started disastrously. So with the win, the Phillies enter Friday 3 games behind the Atlanta Braves in the National League East. The Braves had their game against the Rockies postponed due to weather, and the Phillies are 2.5 games out of the National League wild card behind 3 teams, the Cardinals, Padres, and Reds. So again, I think the Phillies' chances of making the postseason strictly come in winning the National League East, unless a bunch of teams all falter, and that's what's been happening. With the exception of the St. Louis Cardinals, every team in the National League has been faltering. No one wants the second wild card. And no one wants to win the National League East either. This is a golden opportunity the Phillies have been given, and they have squandered it. And we'll see if there's still enough time in order to make up those three games against the Braves. You know, they have a three-game series coming up here in a couple of days against the Braves. I think it's the second-to-last series of the season. They're going to play Atlanta. So I guess if they stay within shouting distance and then do good work against Atlanta, there is still that chance. But they've got to stay close. They have to take advantage of these opportunities, because right now, as they enter play on Friday, their postseason odds stand at 22.1%, according to Fangraphs. Now, I think the Phillies have had a number of remarkable wins and losses this year. They've had, remember, against the Nationals this year, don't they have five comebacks in like the eighth or ninth inning? I mean, they have tortured the Nationals. I think I said Diamondbacks. The Nationals. They have tortured the Nationals this year. And they've won a bunch of other games in the final minutes as well. But they've also blown a ton of games. But I do wonder, was this their best win of the season? We always ask after a crushing defeat if it was their worst loss of the season. But I think this may have been their best win of the season, simply because they needed this game so desperately, because they got down 7-0, and because they managed to fight their way back. And now you just wonder, can they use it as a springboard? Can they use it as momentum? This team is allergic to momentum, at least positive momentum, but we'll see if it's enough to kind of make them go on a little bit of a run here at the end of the season. By the way, their win expectancy when the Cubs went up 7-0 in the third was 2.1%. That tells you how unlikely it was that the Phils would be able to come back against the Cubs, who blew for the second time this year, blew a 7-0 lead and lost a baseball game. Now, the Phillies won on Wednesday night in weird fashion, 6-5. Despite blowing two saves in that one, they won on a walk-off passed ball in the bottom of the ninth of all things. But Jose Alvarado blew a two-run lead, and then Ian Kennedy blew a one-run lead with another home run in the ninth inning. Two blown saves in that game. The Phillies have now blown 32 saves this season. That is too shy of the big league record set by the 2004 Rockies, 34. The Phillies 32 is tied with the 2016 Giants and the 1973 Braves, 32 blown saves. You know the Phillies are going to own second place by themselves. They will blow another save this year, and they will most likely set the record 1 year after having perhaps one of the worst bullpens in modern baseball history. They are this year somehow a better bullpen, and yet will set the major league record for blown saves in a season. Think about that. And they lost the first game of the series 6-3 behind a lackluster effort from Kyle Gibson, who has not been very good since coming to Philadelphia. He got off to a hot start, but now with a 4.85 ERA in 8 starts since the trade that brought him to Philly. So now the Phillies head to New York for a 3-game series against the Mets. 16 games remain on the Phillies' schedule. The Mets have been in free fall, 72-75, 3 games under 500 on the season, and they would love nothing more than to ruin the Phillies' chances here. The Phils at 74-72 now, 2 games over 500. They have got to go into New York and take care of business and use this game on Thursday night, this remarkable 17-8 win, this comeback from 7-0 down. They've got to use it as a springboard. And frankly, the pitching rotation lines up for them. If these guys hold true to form, if they do what they're paid to do, you've got Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Kyle Gibson in this 3-game series against the Mets in New York. If you're going to go to the playoffs, got to win those games. You got to start piling up winning streaks here. You got to go on winning streaks. It's not going to be enough to win series from this point on. The Phillies have given themselves no margin for error, so they need to sweep teams like the Mets when you have your three best horses going for you in these three games. And so that is what's next for the Phillies here as we are wrapping up the 2021 season. A little bit more on Bryce Harper. Again, I think this is an interesting number, and I was surprised to see that it was this high. Bryce Harper leads all National League players in Fangraphs wins above replacement. This is including the game on Thursday night. He now has a 6.2 Fangraphs wins above replacement. That is ahead of Fernando Tatis Jr.'s 5.9 and Trey Turner's 5.6. Juan Soto is at 5.3. Leo Morgenstern, our own Leo, mentioned that 15 of the past 20 National League MVP winners led all position players in Fangraphs wins above replacement. So this seems to be a number that generally speaking is a good indicator of who is going to win the MVP award. So Bryce Harper now hitting 314, 428, 627 on the season with 36 doubles, one triple, 33 home runs, 77 RBIs, and a major league best 1,055 OPS. The next closest OPS is Tatis at 1,005. This is more than the Phillies could have hoped for when they signed him a couple of seasons ago. I think his top competitors for the MVP are probably Tatis, Soto, Muncy, Freddie Freeman. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not, and I don't think this is the case anymore, it doesn't really happen that you need to be from a playoff team in order to win the MVP. I think it helps among some writers, but I think Bryce Harper's play is, I mean, I wrote about this for The Good Fight a couple of weeks ago. It is so reminiscent of Ryan Howard's 2006 season and other Ryan Howard seasons. But in 2006, when Howard went on that crazy rampage during the last 2 months of the season, that is what Bryce Harper is doing. And Ryan Howard won the MVP that year without going to the playoffs because he was carrying the team on his back. That is what Bryce Harper is doing right now. Among the five players I just mentioned, Harper, Tatis, Muncy, Soto, Freeman, Todd Zielecki notes that he ranks first in OPS plus, first in WAR, first in extra base hits. He's second in batting average. He's actually closing in on Trey Turner in terms of batting average. He'd be the first Philly to win the batting title since Richie Ashburn in 1958, by the way. I think Bob Brookover had that stat today. I'm just going to double check that because I want to make sure I got the date right. But the way Bryce Harper is going here, yes, it was Richie Ashburn in 1958 that he's closing in on becoming the first Philly to win a batting title since 1958. Batting titles aren't what they once used to be in terms of star power, but it would still be a pretty cool thing. And I know Bryce Harper doesn't have the RBIs, but as Zielecki noted in a piece for MLB.com, he has hit with runners in scoring position in just 18.3% of his plate appearances. As Zielecki notes, there have been 4,605 players since 2008 who have 125 or more plate appearances in a season. Harper's plate appearance percentage with runners in scoring position is tied for the 129th lowest mark in 14 years. So he's just not getting the opportunities. And as Zielecki also noted in his piece, only three Phillies have slashed 300, 400, 500 since 1900. This is with a minimum of 500 plate appearances. Ryan Howard in 2006, Chuck Kline in the late 20s and early 30s did it a few times, and Lefty O'Doul in 1929 and 1930. His 180 OPS plus is the third highest by a Phillies player since 1900, and that was before the game on Thursday. Zielecki put that number out. It's gone up since then. Only Mike Schmidt with a 198 OPS plus in 1981 and Dick Allen's 181 OPS plus in 1966 have done better. Bryce Harper is having probably, I don't know, you look at your OPS plus, it would be the third best season in offensive season in Philly's history, but that Ryan Howard 2006 season was also up there. Needless to say, Bryce Harper is having one of the four or five best offensive seasons in franchise history. This is why you wanted Bryce Harper in his prime. And you can just imagine what would have happened if he hadn't gotten hit in the face and the arm with a pitch back at the end of April. Matt Winkleman tweeted this out. From April 1st to the 28th, Harper hit 321, 448, 615, and then he gets hit, and he's dealing with back problems and arm problems. From April 29th to May 22nd, he hit 211, 318, 316, because he was hurting. He was finally put on the injured list on May 25th, and he returned from the injured list on June 5th. From June 5th through yesterday, through Wednesday's games, he had slashed 326, 436, 671. So Winkleman took out the time in which Harper was clearly hurt. If you take out that time, he's hitting 324, 439, 660. Now compare that to 330, 460, 649 in his MVP season. He's having a similar season to the one he had in 2015. If you take out the time, that 211, 318, 316 slash line from April 29th to May 22nd, that 3 weeks when he was clearly injured and he kept trying to stay out there. So I don't know what more you need to see. Bryce Harper is the National League MVP if he continues going like this. He's pulling away from the field right now here in the National League. Now, one thing I did want to mention here, and again, we're going to start looking forward, and I want to get into this a little bit more on episode 506 of the podcast, which we will most likely be recording on Monday night. Liz and I will be taking care of that one. We're going to start looking ahead, because I do still think the odds are low that this team is going to make the postseason. As I mentioned before, I think right now they're at 22.2%. 22.1%. It's not unreasonable. Again, you want to get to that Atlanta series no more than two games out. I guess you could be three games out, but then you need the sweep to just be tied. But you want to stay in that range, and right now that's where the Phillies are. So technically they are still alive and still kind of control their own destiny here. But as we're looking ahead, we do see a team here that's got a ton of holes, right? I mean, we all know the Phillies are a team loaded with holes. And so I've created a batting order of deficiencies here. Actually, one of my Twitter followers said, "Hey, you've created a batting order of deficiencies," and I'm stealing it because it was very good. I think the number one thing this team needs to address is starting pitcher depth, because you can't be running a bullpen game every fifth day. You can't have four major league caliber starting pitchers. I would still bring up Hans Kraus and have him start every fifth day. I don't see what the harm in that is. What's worse? What could be worse? I mean, they just do it. Just start Hans Kraus and see what you get. If he stinks, if he has a bad start, it's no worse than what you've had these last two bullpen games. I know that the starting rotation is mostly set for next year. You're going to have Wheeler, Nola, the four guys you have right now, Wheeler, Nola, Gibson, and Ranger Suarez are going to be your four guys. And then they're hoping Zach Eflin gets back, but you can't count on that going into the season. I think Hans Kraus is going to be in the conversation for sure as well, but they're going to have to go out and get a couple of guys. But they've got to get that shorn up. They can't do this again next year. Batting second, shortstop. They've got to cut Didi Gregorius. They've got to release him at the end of the year. They can't have him on this team. He's washed up. He's blaming pseudo-gout for him. I mean, he's blaming the vaccine for his pseudo-gout, which is just ridiculous. He's just, he can't play. He can't play. And I was all for, I was leading the charge to sign Didi Gregorius. I did not see this season coming from him. They can't keep him around. They can't have him on the left side of the infield. He's a below replacement player. He's subpar defensively, and he's giving you nothing with the bat. You just can't have Didi Gregorius around in 2022. Number three, you need a closer. This team needs a real closer. You can't bring, I mean, I think the Phillies should bring Hector Neris back, but I think the setup role is perfect for him. What they have him doing right now is perfect. They need a closer. They need somebody who can come in the ninth inning and actually get the dadgum job done. They have yet to find a guy since Jonathan Papelbon left. And ridicule Jonathan Papelbon all you want. Jonathan Papelbon got the job done most of the time when he was here. You don't like him. I didn't like him either, but he got the job done. Batting fourth, center field. They've got to figure out the center field position. It's not going to be Odubel next year. I was hoping Mickey Moniak and Adam Haseley would take control of the job at some point this season, but it was never allowed to happen. They've got to figure that out. And then maybe in tandem with number five, they've got to figure out a leadoff hitter. Maybe that comes in a center fielder trade. It would make sense because center field has a lot of the types of skills that you're looking for in a leadoff hitter, a fast guy, a guy who gets on base. You know, a lot of talk about Byron Buxton. The Phillies are not going to have the pieces to trade for Byron Buxton, and Buxton's hurt a lot. I don't know that that really helps you. But they have got to put somebody at the top of the lineup who can get on base a lot. When they have somebody like that, it makes Bryce Harper and Hoskins and Real Muto more dangerous. They have got to figure that out. Number six, they've got to get some setup relievers. They've got to fill the back of the bullpen is going to need a lot of work because a lot of these guys are gone. Alvarado, Coonrod, Archie Bradley, they're all going to be gone. Kennedy, they're all going to be gone. Good. I don't think Alvarado's been a disaster. He's been volatile, but I would keep Alvarado around if the price is right. I don't think he's been, I think for what you gave up for him, I think Alvarado's been fine. They've just relied on him to do a little bit too much. I was hoping that he would be this team's closer, that he would find the 2018 version of himself, but he's all over the place. He's wild thing. He's the wild thing on crack is what he is. I mean, it's an amped up Mitch Williams wild thing. Number seven, third base. I still think this is going to be Alec Bohm. If they decide to move Alec Bohm to left field, then that takes care of number 8 on my list, which is left field. Alec Bohm will most likely fill one of those two spots. Even if the DH comes back to the National League next year, they're going to have a number of guys they want to rotate in that spot. They're not going to have one designated hitter. They're going to have different guys get in that spot to get rest. So I think it's too soon to give up on Alec Bohm. He's the former number 3 overall pick. He'll just be in his third season. He's going to be at third base or left field, but you have to figure out solutions for at least one of those things. And so those are at number 7 and 8 on my list. And then number 9, first base. You know, Rhys Hoskins has first base, I think, kind of locked up, but he's been injured the last 2 years. He's missed the end of these last 2 seasons. So I'm a little concerned about his long-term durability. And if the team's looking to shake things up this offseason, you might need to use Rhys Hoskins in a trade package. I don't want to see them move Rhys Hoskins, but he might not have any more value than he has right now because he played so well. So it's something to consider. I think all options are on the table for Dave Dombrowski. And I have first base down there at number 9. I think it's Hoskins. I don't think he's going anywhere, but it's certainly something that I think warrants a little bit of thought, because maybe that's a spot where you can think outside the box just a little bit. All right, it's time for your stat of the week. I told you this was going to be a short podcast this week. We'll do a little bit of a longer podcast with Liz here on Monday night. But for right now, your stat of the week is, again, this remarkable game on Thursday night. The Phillies are the first National League team in the modern era to trail by 7 or more runs in a game and then end up winning by 9 or more runs. You talk about a deluge that this team put on the Chicago Cubs in this game starting in the 4th inning. A remarkable victory for the Phillies on Thursday night. And again, let's see if they can use it to propel them to greatness to finish up the 2021 season. I doubt it, but let's see if it gives them a little bit of a nudge as they go into New York to take on the Mets in a 3-game series in which they need to win all 3 games behind Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Kyle Gibson. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. Thank you all for continuing to tune in as we try to finish up a Philly season that has been completely and totally exhausting. But hopefully the podcast has not been exhausting. So make sure to tell a friend about the Good Fight podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Leave a rating and a review. Let me know what you think of Hittin' Season. I would love to hear your thoughts and just get your thoughts in general on the Phillies on the Hittin' Season Apple Podcasts review area. So please go ahead and do that. Tell your friends about us on Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out the Hittin' Season Patreon. We have some extra stuff going on there as well. Plus, it's a great way to let us know that that you support us and to help us out a little bit on the financial side of things. All that stuff goes a long way. It's at patreon.com/hittin'season. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time here on Hittin' Season.